بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. The author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, closing the issue and closing the discussion with regards to al-asl al-thani, al-asl al-thani, الذي هو معرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة. Closing the discussion and the topic with regards to the second great foundation and fundamental principle that's an obligation upon everyone to learn and to know and to believe and to comply to and to apply al-Islam. معرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة وهو الاستسلام لله بالتوحيد والانقياد له بالطاعة والبراءة من الشرك وأهله. Until the end of that which the author has mentioned. He closes this chapter or this portion of this text with this, his statement, وَالدَّلِيلُ مِنَ السُّنَّةِ وَالدَّلِيلُ مِنَ السُّنَّةِ and the evidence, any the evidence for everything that has preceded. From the sunnah, hadith of Jibreel, al-mashhur an Umar, radiallahu anhu. The hadith he mentioned that is known as hadith Jibreel, the narration of Jibreel, that is well known, narrated by Umar, radiallahu anhu. And the author, he mentions the hadith, and he says, قَالَ بينما نحن عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم عمر he says one day we were with the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ طلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد السواد الشعر and suddenly a man came and he appeared to us and he from outside of the congregation a man appeared and he had a very bright white garment and he thobe and qamis he's wearing a very bright white thobe And his hair is very, very dark black. لا يرى عليه أثر السفر. And it is not, no traces of traveling were seen upon him. He did not appear to be a traveler. ولا يعرفه منا أحدنا. And nobody from amongst us, any from the companions, those sitting in the gathering with the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, not one of them knows him or is familiar with him. حتى جلس إلى النبي. Until he came and he appeared and he came amongst them until he sat. In front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه. He sat very close until his knees were touching his knees, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ووضع كفيه على فخذيه. And then that man, he put his hands on his lap. وقال يا محمد. And he said, O Muhammad, أخبرني عن الإسلام. Inform me about al-Islam. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم الإسلام وأن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله. وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he responded to him and he said, "Al-Islam is to testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah and to establish the salah and to pay the zakat and to fast the month of Ramadan and to make the pilgrimage to the house if you are able to do that." قال the man he says, صدقت. Verily, you told the truth. Yeah, you said what you said is correct. And affirming what he mentioned. Umar, he says, radiallahu anhu, فَعَجِبْنَا لَهُ يَسْأَلُهُ وَيُصَدِّقُهُ So we were amazed at this man at this time. He came and he asked about this issue. And then whenever he gets the answer, he says, oh yes, you told the truth. And so they were amazed at this. First, the issue is here that the man, he comes, his clothes are very clean. His clothes are very bright and very clean. And likewise, his hair is very dark. And his appearance is very nice. And on top of that, nobody knows him whatsoever. And there is no apparent traces of traveling upon him. And he came in this manner. And then after he asked the question, he affirmed that that's the answer. And he said, you told the truth. That's right. What you said is correct. So they find this to be an amazing affair. So he said, فَعَجِبْنَا لَهُ يَسْأَلُهُ وَيُصَدِّقُهُ We found that to be amazing that he asked him, and then he at the same time he tells him that he is correct. قَالَ So the man he says, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ Then tell me about al-Iman. قَالَ صلى الله عليه وسلم أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسوله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you believe in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers and the last day. And you believe in the decree, the good and the bad of that. قَالَ صَدَقْتَ He said, that's right, you told the truth. You're correct. قَالَ So now the man, he says, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِحْسَانِ Then inform me about al-Ihsan. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه, that you must worship Allah as if you see him. فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك, and if you are not, if you do not see him, then know that verily he sees you. قال, the man, he says, فأخبرني عن الساعة, then inform me about the hour, and meaning when will the hour be established, the day of resurrection. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل, the one who is being asked about this question does not have more knowledge or is not more knowledgeable than the one who was asking, and he, saying that he doesn't know just like the one who is asking does not know. قال, the man, he says, فأخبرني عن أماراتها, then inform me about the signs of the hour, about its signs. So he says, صلى الله عليه وسلم, قال أن تلد الأمة ربتها وأن ترى الحفاة العراة العادة ريع الشاء يتطاولون في البنيان. He said that you will find a slave woman giving birth to her master, and that also you will see that there will be poor shepherds who are unclothed and not wearing shoes, and they begin to compete and race with one another and competition in building tall buildings. قال ثم انطلق فلبثت مريا. قال عمر رضي الله عنه, then the man, he left, and I sat some time, مريا يعني زمنا, فلبثت مليا, I waited for some time. ثم قال لي صلى الله عليه وسلم, and then the prophet, he said to me, يا عمر, أو عمر, أتدري من السائل, do you know who the questioner is? قلت الله ورسوله أعلم, he said, Allah and his messenger know best. قال فإنه جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم, verily he was Jibreel, verily it is Jibreel, and he came to teach you your deen, and he came to teach you your deen. This hadith is and this wording by Umar is narrated by Al-Imam Muslim in his authentic collection of hadith, and it's the first hadith in Sahih Muslim. The first hadith in Sahih Muslim is this hadith, the hadith of Umar radiyallahu anhu, and the hadith of Umar, and also known as hadith Jibreel, yani the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, that Umar is narrating this hadith, because this narration has been narrated by more than one companion. From them, Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu likewise has narrated this narration, but the wording is slightly different, and the wording of Umar is more complete. And Bukhari and Muslim, both of them have narrated the narration and the wording of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, but Muslim himself, he has collected and narrated this wording in his authentic narration, and he has placed it in the beginning of his book. And many of the ulama, they have mentioned about this narration, how great it is and how important it is, and its high and lofty status in the deen, and they have mentioned a beautiful benefit. And similarly, like the Quran, it has a foundation, and all of the Quran, it goes back to that foundation, and it has what is considered al-Quran or al-Kitab, and this is in reference to al-Fatiha. And the ulama, they mentioned that the Fatiha is summarized in general, that has summarized in general the deen. And the whole Quran is summarized in Al-Fatiha, and the rest of the Quran, all the way to An-Nas, is detailed explanation and clarification of the meanings of the Fatiha. And this is why it is called Al-Kitab wa Al-Quran, Al-Fatiha, the foundation of the book and the foundation of the Quran, because all of the meanings of the Quran, they go back to Al-Fatiha. All of the detailed and specific meanings and regulations and rulings and creeds and belief and the likes that are found in the Quran, they all go back to Al-Fatiha. And the Fatiha summarized all of that in general in these seven verses. Similarly, like this narration, many of the ulama have mentioned Hadith Jibreel, alayhi salam, it is known as As-Sunnah. As-Sunnah, the foundation of the Sunnah. Because all of the meanings of the Sunnah go back to this hadith. And all of the detailed clarification and explanation, regulations and rulings, and all of the clarification that has come in the Sunnah, it has been summarized in this narration. And it all goes back to this narration. And similarly like this, Al-Imam Muslim, he began his book like this to inform us, and to indicate that the rest of the narrations that you study in this book, they all go back to this narration. They're all the clarification of the meaning and the benefits that have come in the narration here of Jibreel. And if we ponder over the end of the narration and the last thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he mentioned in this hadith, he says, "Innahu Jibreel atakum yu'allimukum dinakum." Verily, it is Jibreel, he came to teach you your deen. So here we see that the deen has been taught in this hadith. In this narration, the deen has been taught, and it was taught by an angel. And this is also a clarification of that reality, that just as the Qur'an is revelation, and Jibreel, he would descend with the Qur'an upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise he would descend with the sunnah. And the sunnah likewise is revelation. And the regulations and rulings and the commandments and prohibitions and the detailed clarification of the meanings of the Qur'an that are found in the sunnah, this is likewise revelation. وَلَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. And he does not speak from his desires. Allah mentioned about his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but verily it is just revelation, that it is nothing more than revelation revealed to him. So likewise, the sunnah is revelation, and Jibreel alayhi salam, he would descend on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and teach him the details of the sunnah and clarify him for him these issues as a revelation and a command from Allah azza wa jal. So this narration, it is very befitting and for a believer to memorize it and to learn it and to know it, to memorize it like he memorizes the Fatiha. The same way he memorized the Fatiha, he should strive to memorize this narration. And the parents should also likewise, not only themselves memorize the narration, but they should make their children memorize it and help them to memorize it. يُحَفِّظُونَ أَوْلَادُهُمْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثَ الْعَظِيمِ. نعم, they know it. بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله ذات يوم اطلع علينا رجل شديد بين الثياب. To the end of the hadith, they learn it and they know it. And this is a foundation for the education that they will have to come, and their tarbiyah and the likes that will come later. This hadith is a foundation and a fundamental. And the explanation of the deen has been clarified in concise, in a concise and brief manner in this hadith. So with that, then I advise the noble brothers and sisters to have diligence in memorizing this narration, to memorize it properly, word for word, and to understand it. And likewise to aid and their children as well, and those under their care, and those under their care and concern, and their loved ones and the likes, to help them also memorize it, to memorize it precisely. The way that one memorizes the Fatiha, he will memorize the likes of these narrations, and he will understand them. And he will seek the pleasure of Allah in the application of that knowledge that he has been blessed with and that he memorized. So, based upon this, we see that that which has preceded in the previous classes, all the pillars of Islam and the meaning of Islam, all of that was basically the explanation of this hadith. So therefore, for example, if we want to ask somebody about al-Islam and to explain this hadith, those brothers and sisters and those listeners, may Allah bless you all and increase you in good. If you had paid attention and taken good notes and reviewed them and learned the information that was presented, then you will be able to explain this hadith in a bit of detail. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked, "Inform me about al-Islam." What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he say? He mentioned to him the five pillars. Naam, what din lahu maratib, al Islam lahu thalathu maratib, and that's also here. The first martabat al Islam, wa lahu khamsatu arkan. Then it has four pillars. So what is the definition of al Islam? Who can remind us? We study this in detail. Islam is the deen of all of the prophets. All of the prophets, they were Muslims. All of the prophets, they were upon Islam. We have many classes in detail about these affairs. Al-Islam, it has two meanings, a general and a specific. What's the general meaning of al-Islam? Now that we made it to this hadith, the classes that preceded, they're the explanation of this hadith. Their explanation of this hadith, Umm Sunnah, Hadith Jibreel. Al-Islam, the general meaning that all of the prophets that came with, al-Istislamu lillahi bil-tawheed, wal-qiyadu lahu bil-ta'a, wa-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahli. Naam, and the specific meaning, ما جاء به نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من الأحكام الشرعية. نعم, من الأقاعد الزكية والأحكام الشرعية. That which the Prophet has come with, from the correct and upright creed and belief, and likewise from the Islamic legislation and the commandments and regulations and prohibitions that he has come with, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that's the specific meaning. The point is that these classes that have proceeded about Islam and about Iman and about Ihsan and all of these affairs, even before that, everything that we discuss, if it's related to the deen, it goes back to this hadith. Innahu Jibreel atakum yu'allimukum deenakum. Verily, this was Jibreel. He came to you to teach you your deen. To teach you your deen. So, this hadith is an amazing hadith. And the affairs that we have mentioned in detail previously, we will not touch on them. But there are other benefits that have not been discussed that we will mention in this narration. There are other benefits that we see in this narration that have not proceeded, that we did not discuss with regards to this hadith, the hadith of Jibreel. As for the pillars of Islam and Iman and Ihsan, we went into some detail with regards to those affairs. But here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's sitting with his companions. بَيْنَمَا نَحْنُ جُلُوسٌ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ ذَاتَ يَوْمًا. While we were sitting, one day while we were sitting with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we see that the companions, they used to sit with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that the Prophet, he made himself available to the people. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would mix with the people, and he would sit with them, and he would educate them, and he would teach them, and he would cultivate them and raise them upon Iman, and he would clarify to them the deen and the Islamic rulings and regulations. And he would also, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, answer their questions, and he would solve issues and the likes that would occur in the society. The point is here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said amongst his companions from them. And the ulama, they mentioned the benefit here. And that is that likewise the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge, they also should not seclude themselves, and they should not be alone, but rather they should also mix with the people. They should also mix with the people and give their time to the people and sit with the people. And even we see that sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would have specific days that he would sit with the people on this day or that day. And likewise the women, they had a special day that he would meet with them, and he would teach them, and he would clarify to them the rulings and the likes like this, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So likewise the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge, after benefiting and learning, they should mix with the people, and they should sit with the people, and they should be amongst the people and the likes, in order to benefit them, and in order to benefit them. And likewise we see and we know from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that although he would sit with him, and somebody who did not know and came from outside would not be able to determine or tell which one of them was the Prophet, because of his humbleness sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he would sit amongst them as if he's from amongst them. So he would not to display himself to be better than all of them, although he's the best, Sayyidu Walidi Adam Ajma'in, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But his demeanor and his manners and his humbleness and the way that he said in the company of his companions, he said, and he is from amongst them. بَيْنَمَا نَحْنُ جُلُوسٌ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذْ طَلَعَ عَلَيْنَا أَوْ ذَاتِ يَوْمٍ إِذْ طَلَعَ عَلَيْنَا رَجُلٌ. This man, he comes. In the end, we see again that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam clarified, إِنَّهُ جِبْرِيلٌ, that this man is Jibreel. So here we see that the angels, sometimes they appear to mankind in the form of men. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has given the angels the ability to change forms. And this is something that they have been blessed with, and this is something that Allah has bestowed upon them and granted them the ability. And it's not something that they do alone, but rather the angels themselves, they fear Allah. They fear their Lord above them. يَخَفُونَ رَبُّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ. They fear their Lord above them, and they are afraid of Allah, and they do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they have been given certain responsibilities, and likewise they have been given certain abilities, and from that is that they can change forms, and that they would appear in the form of men, as in this narration. And likewise, whenever they came to Ibrahim, they came in the form of men, and likewise whenever they came to Lut, they came in the form of men, and they saw men. Alayhim as-salatu was-salam, but they were really angels. And this is something that Allah has bestowed upon them. And the believer, he believes in this. He believes in angels, and he believes that they have an original form that they were created upon. And he believes that sometimes the people would see them, have seen them in the shape of men, and that the angels, they can change forms according to the decree of Allah and what He has allowed for them and bestowed upon them from ability and from qudra. from the benefits of this narration. Naam, and also we know and have seen in detail the mention of the pillars of Iman from that belief in the angels. But this has already been discussed. بَيْنَمَا نَحْنُ جُلُوسٌ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ذَاتَ يَوْمًا إِذْ طَلَعَ عَلَيْنَا رَجُلٌ شَدِيدُ بَيَاضِ الثِّيَابِ شَدِيدُ سَوَادِ الشَّعْرِ. How did he come? He didn't come dirty, and he didn't come looking foul, or he did not come looking, in a manner that's not befitting. Rather, he came with clean clothes on, alayhi salam. This man, he appeared with bright white clothes on. Shadeed bayal fiyab, very bright clothing, meaning his clothing was clean. And shadeed sawad shaar, and his hair is very dark likewise. Some of the ulama, they mentioned this indication that he was a young man. He came in the form of a young man. Naam, that his hair is complete, is very dark black, even his beard. But one of the benefits from this is that we see he's coming as a questioner. So outwardly it appears that he's a student, a seeker of knowledge. He's coming asking. So from this, the ulama have mentioned that from the manners of a student of knowledge and from the etiquettes of the seeker of knowledge, طالب العلم, and أدابي طالب العلم, is that he has great concern with his appearance, and that he presents himself in a good way, and that his demeanor and the manner that he carries himself and that he displays himself, especially whenever he comes to seek knowledge, is in a good way, and he's clean. He doesn't come with clothing that is filthy, clothing that is dirty. Likewise, he doesn't come with his hair disheveled and the likes like this. But rather, it is nice and it's clean, and he takes care of himself and his appearance and the likes like this. And this is from the good manners, especially of the one who is seeking knowledge and carrying the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah in his heart and seeking after that knowledge. It would be from the best of the people. So therefore, he should have the best manners and the best etiquettes, and he should have a good hedi wa samt, and his demeanor and the way that he carries himself. And this is derived from this narration. And so these benefits are derived from this narration, that he would come in this manner. Some people maybe think because one is a student of knowledge or the likes like this, he should have clothing that is dirty, or he should not have concern with his appearance. Lad, that's not the case. And we learn this in this narration here. Even what has been mentioned about Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that whenever he would come to teach the people, he would put on the best clothing. And he would put on the best tib, the best perfume that he would have, and he would adorn himself properly, and he would come and he would sit and he would teach the people the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of this is showing honor and respect and having reverence and love for knowledge and respect for the knowledge that is being presented, or the knowledge that is being given, and honoring the gatherings of knowledge and coming in the best manner and in the best way. And in any case, the Muslim, male and female, they're clean. From their manners is that they're clean. They're clean in their heart with their creed, and likewise they're clean in their body, and likewise in their clothing. And they have concern for their appearance, and they look nice, and the likes like this, and the manner that is legislated. They present themselves whenever they go into public or amongst the people in the manner that is legislated, not looking filthy and dirty and the likes like this, and trying to seem like they have left off the dunya. But rather, Imam Malik, he is from those people who was severely far away from the dunya. Rahimahullah ta'ala, yet he would adorn himself and he would wear the proper clothing. Naam, shadidu bayad al-thiyab, shadidu sawad, al-sha'ar la yura alayhi athuru safar. وَلَا يَعْرِفُهُ مِنَّا أَحَدٌ. This part here is amazing for them. Maybe it's not so amazing for us in these days, but for them it was amazing that his clothing is very clean. And likewise, his hair is very nice. It's not dusty, it's not dirty, not his garments and not his clothing. And likewise, he has no trace of traveling. He doesn't look tired, he doesn't look sunburnt, he doesn't look wore out, he doesn't look dusty and disheveled. None of the traces of traveling appear on him, and at the same time, nobody knows him. Where did he come from? So this is what they're amazed with. And in those days, if somebody were to travel, especially in the land that they lived in, they would travel on foot, or they would travel on animals, and they would be in dust, and they would be in sun, and they would be in the heat. So a person who is traveling, he would come, and he would have the effects and the traces of traveling. His hair would be dusty, and his garments would be dusty, and he would be sweaty, and he would be hot and maybe even have a foul odor, possibly because of the travel and the distance that he's traveling in the heat. And definitely he would have the signs of that he was tired and wore out and the lines like this on his face or on his body. But this person, he did not come like that. And at the same time, nobody knows him. So where did he come from? He's not from them. He's not from the people who live in the, and reside in the city. And so they don't know him. And at the same time, he doesn't look like somebody who just arrived from traveling. So where did he come from? Subhanallah. This is why they're finding this to be amazing. As for us in our days, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with so many blessings. And from them is that we will travel. We will travel distances across the world in less than a day, and we'll get there in the same manner with the same clothing on, and everything is completely fine and clean, traveling inside air conditioning planes or air and cars that are air conditioned and moving, and there are storms and rain and wind is blowing outside and dust is going around, but the one inside the vehicle, he has no he experiences no hardship from that, or he's not even feeling that or whatsoever. He may even be asleep in comfort and not even realize that it's raining or that there's a windstorm or that the dust is blowing or any of this, or that the wind is moving very hard. And this is from the blessing of Allah that requires for the believers in these days to show thanks. As for them in their days, then they had great hardship in traveling. They would have great hardship in traveling, especially whenever they would travel to the likes of Mecca and Medina to go for Umrah and to go for Hajj. They would travel months to get there and months back. And the one who would go to Umrah or the one who would go to Hajj from them, if they had intended to set out on this journey, whenever they would say farewell and to their family, it was a farewell as if they will never see them again. They would say farewell to them like they're never going to see them again, because many people who leave, they never come home because of the dangers of traveling. So if a person, they would leave and they would travel months, 2 months, 3 months until they get there, and then also on the way back. Subhanallah. As for us today, we travel in 12 hours, 10 hours, and all across the ocean and land in safety by the permission of Allah and by His grace. And this is something that requires thanks, and something that requires shukr. And to affirm that blessing, and it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نَمْ لَا يَعْرِفُهُ مِنَّا أَحَدٌ حَتَّى جَلَسَ إِلَى النَّبِي فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ. And some of the, and none of them know him until he sat right in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And some of the wordings, he sought permission. أَدْنُو قَالَ أُدْنُو. That he asked, can I come near? Can I come close? And some of the narrations, this was mentioned. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him permission to come near. In any case, he sat very close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until his knees were touching him. He sat in front of him. This is another benefit that the ulama, they mentioned with regards to the manners of the student of knowledge, that he will sit close to the teacher and he will face the teacher. فَوَضَعْ كَفَيْهِ عَلَى فَخِذَيْنِ. He put his hands on his lap, meaning he will sit there in a noble manner. And he will sit there facing his teacher, and he will sit there close to this teacher, hoping to benefit and looking to benefit. And the likes like this, sitting attentively and not being lazy, and not laying down and not being lazy, or sitting in a manner that's not proper, sticking the feet towards him, and the likes like this. But rather, he sat right in front of him, very close to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sat in a manner that is proper, and a manner that is befitting for a person who is coming to seek knowledge, and for a person who is looking for benefit, and for a person who is coming to an individual hoping to learn from him. And this is a benefit that we learn. If we look into the end of the narration, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clarified that actually Jibril, he was not a student, rather he was a teacher. Ata innahu Jibril atakum yu'allimukum dinakum. That's why they're amazed. How could he say, oh, what is this, or inform me of this and inform me of that? And then he says, oh yeah, that's correct. Now, because in the end, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that this was Jibril, he came to teach your deen. This is another wonderful benefit for a believer to be aware of it, particularly a student of knowledge. That sometimes asking questions, even though one knows the answer, is a means of teaching the people. Some person, he himself may not be a teacher, but he is sitting with a teacher. But he's aware that the other students are in need of a particular type of knowledge. Or there is somebody present there in the gathering that is in need of some knowledge. And therefore, although he knows the ruling and knows the answer himself, he will ask the question in that gathering so that the answer will reach the people who need it. So in reality, he's not asking to seek an answer. Rather, he's asking in order to teach the people. And this is a beautiful intention.
And this is a beautiful intention. And likewise, from the ways of teaching, from the ways, the different methodologies of teaching, in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is question and answer. There are many ways the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would teach and he would cultivate the people, different tactics or different manners or methodologies that he would use sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get the people's attention and to teach them and to help the knowledge be firm for them and the likes like this, and to raise them upon this deen. And from that is asking questions and giving answers. Asking questions and giving answers. Here we see Jibril, he asked the question and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the answer. And in the end of the hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked Umar the question and then he gave an answer. Ya Umar, atadri man as-sa'il? Do you know who the questioner was? Umar, he says, well, Allah and his messenger know best. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave him the answer. There are other benefits in this narration, likewise from the signs of the hour, and also benefits with regards to a student of knowledge. And we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked about when the hour is, and he said he did not know. مَالْ مَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِيَعْلَمَ مِنِ السَّائِلِ. The one who is being asked has no more knowledge than the one who is asking. يعني لا أدري والله عالم. So therefore, likewise, a person of knowledge or a student of knowledge, and specifically somebody who is dealing with knowledge, specifically, but a Muslim in general, if he's asked about something he does not know, he says, I don't know. Wallahu a'lam. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned here, this is something he has no knowledge. Inna Allah indahu al musa'a wa yunazilu ghayth wa ya'lamu ma fi arham wa ma tadri ma tadri nafsun ma taksibu ghadan wa ma tadri nafsun bi ayy ardin tamut. These affairs only Allah knows. Only Allah knows when the hour is. We have been informed that the hour is Yawmul Jumu'ah. It's going to be on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. But which month and which year, we have not been informed of that. And we do not know. But rather, what is upon us is to get ready for that day and to prepare for it. And we have seen previously in the explanation of this hadith with regards to that great, great pillar of al-Iman, al-Iman, al-Rukn al-Khamis, Naam al-Iman bil-Yawm al-Akhir, that the Qiyamah and that last day and the hour of every individual, it begins at his death. So therefore, get ready for that. And the hour for the individual begins at the time of death. And then the hour whenever all of mankind will be resurrected, then wallahu alam, when that will be on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. But which Jumu'ah, from which year, from which month, then we have not been informed of that. But rather, we must get ready. There are other benefits, many other benefits in this narration, particularly with the signs of the hour and other than that. But we suffice with this now. And inshallah, in the next class, we will begin with Al-Asl Al-Thalith. Al-Asl Al-Thalith. What is that? Al-Aslu Al-Thalith. Al-Aslu Al-Thalith. Ma'rifatu Nabiyikum Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa hum Muhammadu bin Abdullah ibn Abdul-Muttalib ibn Hashim. Wa Hashimu min Quraysh. Wa Quraysh min al-Arabi. Wa al-Arabu min Thurriyat Ismail ibn Ibrahim al-Khalil alayhi wa ala nabiyyina afdalu salati wa salam. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.